It looks funny. So I'm going to stand on one side or the other, and I'll probably move back and forth a little bit. So we've had these projectors for a while, and I sort of wanted to see how this would work. So please bear with me this morning as I see if it works. Okay? So we've been talking about being engaged. We've been talking about, you know, how we engage the world. We've talked about how we engage with the Lord. And this week we want to talk about being intentionally engaged. What does it mean to be intentional? We do all kinds of things. You know, like we intentionally plan the service. We do some things like that. Let me just ask you a question. Anybody here married? Are any of you married by accident? Just wondering. Okay. How about? Now, I don't know. Is there anybody here engaged? I don't think there's anybody here engaged. How many of you have been engaged? Okay, let me ask that. Did you guys get engaged by accident? Let me tell you. See, I got married. It wasn't really by accident, but my wife and I had been out, and you have to understand, I met my wife 1 year, and we spent like 5 minutes together, and then I wrote to her for 2 years, pretty much, and then I saw her for about a week, and during that week we got engaged and got married 6 months later. And that was pretty much it. But we've been out riding around and doing stuff, and we were in her car, and because my car was a Pinto. We were in her car, and she wanted to show me the lake. And we got to the lake, and I looked over, and I said, "Do you want to get married?" And she said, "Yes." And then I kissed her. And that was the first time I kissed her, actually. It was after we got engaged. Isn't that cool? That's pretty weird. And it is, but that was the first time I kissed her, was after she said yes. I mean, I was surprised she said yes, but I was like, you know, listen, I'm not going to get a better shot. This one is here. She's, you know, she's nice. She's pretty, you know. Come on. And she said yes. What's that? Yeah, she's got the nice car, everything. So one of the first things we did was sell her car. So you don't get engaged by accident. And so when I'm telling you this, what I mean by being engaged intentionally, you know, you don't put the clutch in your car. You know, you see those shows every once in a while where somebody will put and be in the wrong gear and they'll drive through their garage or something like that. There's a commercial like that on now. That's sort of being accidentally engaged. And I guess that can happen. But really, if we're going to be engaged with God, if we're going to be engaged in the world, then it takes an act of the will. We need to make a choice to actually be engaged. We need to say, hey, listen, I'm choosing to step into this. I'm choosing to do these things. And as a church, we're striving to be intentional with some of the things we're doing in reaching our world, in reaching our community. Every opportunity we're trying to take to share the world with each other. So today we're talking about that being intentional. So, for example, on September 15th, we're doing the block party. That's intentional outreach. Please sign up. Be intentional about this. Start praying about this now. Because it's not, you know, we do this and we do it, it's sort of a gift to the community. We do it to honor our hometown heroes and things like that. But it's also an opportunity for us to have the chance to maybe talk with somebody who wouldn't ever darken the doors of the church. You know, one of the sad things is that these days people just don't come to church. You know, used to be they go looking for answers at church, and now they don't. And then the Sunday after that, now we're looking at getting some T-shirts, and I thought, I was hoping we'd have some here today, but did we? I guess not. Yeah. Oh, I could have put the artwork on the screen. But we'll hopefully have those next week so you have a chance to order them. But we've got some T-shirts that invite people back to church. So back to church Sunday, September 22nd. So the 15th, we're doing our block party, and hopefully we'll invite people back to church. That's intentional. We're doing this on purpose. We're not accidentally saying, hey, let's have a back to church Sunday. We're saying, let's plan for it. Let's get ready for it. On Sunday nights, people are coming together and working on the My Hope program. Well, that doesn't happen until November, but we're being intentional and saying, hey, let's get ready for that now so that when it gets here, we know what to do. So we're trying our best to be intentional about reaching our community. We're trying to do everything we can, not only to reach our community, but also later on to look forward to what happens when people come to Christ. You know, when we after we baptize them, what happens to them? How do they get discipled? So in the spring, we're going to do, well, actually in the winter, January, February, March, we're looking at doing a series, an eight-week series, basically through the Bible in 8 weeks. Boy, you thought you were reading a lot of the Bible now. By the way, thanks for reading. You guys have read almost 10,000 chapters in the last few weeks. Okay, that's like reading the Bible through about 10 times. So thank you. And that's just in the last 6 weeks or so. So keep reading. Keep working on that because we want to do that. Okay, now I'm going to try and see if this works. So we want to be intentional outreach and we want to be intentional in life. We want you to be engaged intentionally. We want you to live intentionally. Ephesians 4:14 says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every word of wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming." Listen, have you noticed the times change? Have you noticed that things change around us? That, you know, I remember when I was a kid, the world was different than it is now. I can remember, and you guys, many of you probably remember this. See, I grew up in the suburbs of Baltimore and then lived in Baltimore City itself. But I can remember, we lived right in the suburbs of Baltimore. And I mean, it wasn't country. It was definitely suburbs. I mean, it was like Okolona or something. And I can remember being 7, 8, 9 years old, and my parents didn't know where I was all day. They just didn't know. I mean, I'd take off, I'd get on my bike. I can remember being 2 or 3 or 4 miles from home. And my parents didn't have a cell phone. I wasn't at anybody's house. I'd go to the park. The park was about 2 miles from the house. I'd tell Mom, I'm going to the park. Well, the park was not like Waterford Park. That park was like 400 acres. And I could have been anywhere in that park. I remember climbing trails and climbing rocks and doing all that kind of stuff. Times have changed, haven't they? Times have changed. And the winds of change sometimes blow things away that shouldn't blow away. For example, some churches these days, they don't stand on convictions. And we're going to get to that later. They don't stand on convictions. So some of the essential doctrines of the faith, they're letting be blown away by the winds of change. And so if we're going to live intentionally, then we're going to say to ourselves, you know what? We're doing the things so that we can stand firm. So let's talk about living intentionally, especially living intentionally for God. First of all, it means choosing to act. It means that you say, I'm going to act on purpose. A lot of times, as churches or as individuals, we react to things. Something happens and we react to it. But in order... Just ask any coach in a ball game or something like that. If all you're doing is reacting to the other team, you're going to lose, right? You've got to be proactive. And that's true in life, and it's true in the church as well. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. We can always find a reason not to do something, right? Let me tell you, we're doing a PowerPoint. This is called a PowerPoint, by the way. How many of you knew this was called a PowerPoint? Okay, I'm going to ask a simple question. How many of you like it? How many of you don't like it? Okay? See, I knew that going in. I knew some of you would not like it. But here's what I also know. That we've got to be careful that we're not blown just by the winds of change, but that we choose to change. And so we'll do this today. We may not do it next week, but we may do it again. I don't know. We'll see. Okay? Things change, and we need to be aware of that. Becoming people of purpose, people of intentionality, means that we are going to choose to take action. Now, here's something you need to know about a church. If a church decides to take action, some people aren't going to like it. If a church decides to actually do missions and reach out into its community, some people aren't going to like it. If a church decides, hey, listen, we're going to be alive to the Spirit of God and let God speak to us, and some people aren't going to like it. Heard it said one time that there are three types of people. There are those who make things happen. There are those who watch things happen. And there are those who wonder what happened. I think churches are the same way too. I think a lot of churches right now are really struggling because they're looking at the world around them and they're looking at empty pews and they're asking themselves, what happened? And what happened is that the world around them has made some adjustments and we haven't changed in the right way. We're not living on purpose. We're not getting ahead of things. We tend to adopt things way after they should be adopted. And see, we need to choose our priorities. That's the next one. Choose your priorities. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Now, some days you have plenty of opportunities. Have you ever noticed that? And some days they come sort of rare. Choosing to act is great, but you always want to make sure that you act according to wisdom. You always make sure you want to act according to the right set of priorities. And we want to be careful in setting our priorities. For example, as a church and as individuals, as believers in Christ, we want to make sure that we first of all honor God in all things. How do we do that? Well, through prayer, through Bible study, through Bible reading, through church attendance, through being involved in discipleship, through growing. So make sure that you're honoring God in all things. Make sure that you honor your family. This is one area where a lot of pastors fall short, is because they work so hard with honoring God sometimes that they forget that God gave them a family. And so in a sad commentary sometimes, a lot of ministers' families struggle because the minister is giving so much to the church and to God that he forgets that one of his priorities is his family. And of course you need to honor the church. You know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be a church. And one of the reasons we're doing Back to Church Sunday is so that we can encourage people. Listen, sometimes, most statistics that I've seen recently, and if you come to the My Hope training on tonight, I don't know if you'll talk about it tonight, but I know some of the My Hope training talks about just the idea that most people will come to church if you ask them. The vast majority, if you ask and are really sincere and say, "Hey, listen, let me take you out for a cup of coffee Sunday and you can come to church with me." Most statistics say that about 75%, and I'm not exact on this, but say that about 75% of people will say yeah. So Back to Church Sunday is our opportunity to say to somebody, they may not have been in church for a while. You may know, you probably know people like that. They got mad at somebody, or they're upset about something that happened in the church, or maybe they just fell away. Maybe something happened, they moved, or they were struggling with something and they just fell away. And maybe they just need a little help to get back to church. So we want to help them to get back to church. So you need to choose your priorities. You need to honor the church. You need to honor the church. Okay? You need to count on God to act. Here's something we don't do sometimes. Let me ask you something. And you don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to do anything. I just want you to think about this for yourself. Do you believe that God is alive and active in Spencer County? Do you believe that God is alive and active in Spencer County? Do you believe that God is alive and active in Plum Creek Church? Now here's where it hits home. Do you believe that God is alive and active in you? Can God use you? See, I had a pastor explain this to me one time, and sometimes you may not know this, but one of the most disappointing times in a pastor's life, y'all want to hear one of the most disappointing times in a pastor's life? Is when you give an invitation and no one comes forward. Because I had a pastor a long time ago, and I think it was in seminary, who told me, he said, "You know what, every time you give an invitation, give it expectantly. Give it believing that somebody's going to come in response, not to what you said, but to what God is doing with them." Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not mad at anybody about this, but there are times when we've gone several Sundays and nobody's made a decision, where one of the hardest things I do is get up here and give the invitation expectantly, praying God and saying, "God, move people to make decisions." One of the greatest things I hear sometimes is some people may not walk down the aisle, but before they leave, they'll come out and they'll say something, and they won't say "great sermon," they'll say something, "Boy, what you said today really made a difference to me." Because listen, I know all my sermons are great. Just a little long sometimes, yes, I understand. I'm watching the clock. But you got to count on God to act. You got to believe that God's going to make a difference. 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Listen, here's what I believe. I believe that if we are faithful in doing the block party, if we're faithful in Back to Church Sunday, if we're faithful in My Hope, if we're faithful in doing these things, then we're going to be filling up the baptismal. And that young men and women, old men and women, people of all ages, are going to come and say, you know what, I want to trust Christ. Wouldn't it be great if we had so many baptisms that we just stopped emptying the baptismal and started pouring chlorine in? Wouldn't that be great? Now, of course, that again would mean we'd have to change something. You do understand like that, right? If we were baptizing people every Sunday, if we were baptizing, say, two or three people every Sunday, okay, in about a year, we'd have to either build a bigger church or go to two services or something like that. And that's scary, right? Everybody's scared. Listen, all right, how many of you are a little bit afraid of change? It's okay, I am. We're all a little bit afraid of change. But if we really believe that God is going to act, and if we really want to get behind that, then we got to understand that there are consequences to that action. And if we're going to be faithful to God, and God's going to be faithful to us, and if He's going to fill this church and fill that baptistry, and we're going to reach people and we're going to teach people, then you're going to have to scoot over in those pews. You're going to have to make room for people. And we're going to act intentionally, understanding that this is God's plan. Not that we stay the same forever, but that we allow room for God to work among us. All right. Learn to be prepared. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord, always being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You heard that earlier. This is one of our key verses. We've already talked about putting Christ first, about learning about Him, about serving Him and obeying Him, and about our priorities. But isn't it powerful that right here, as we look at this verse, the first thing He says, but in your hearts, what's the first thing you do? Set apart Christ. You got to put your priorities in order. You got to, first of all, set apart Christ as Lord. All right? And then what do you do? Well, you prepare an answer. You prepare an answer. What's that look like? What does it mean to give an answer for the hope that's within you? Acts 2.37 says the first sermon had been given, the first Christian sermon. Jesus had been raised into heaven and Peter had given the first sermon. Fire had fallen from heaven and He'd spoken to the crowds. And all the crowds heard what He said, and here's what they did. The people heard this and they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? Now what if they said, what if Peter and James and John had said, I don't know. What should they do? We're supposed to give an answer for that. What should a lost and dying world do? They should trust in Christ. They should repent and be baptized for the renewing of their faith. They should be born again. But what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, what does it mean to be prepared? Well, for you it may mean different things. For example, and I should have done this today. We've got a bunch of tracts downstairs. Pick up a few tracts and stick one in your wallet. Next time somebody gives you an answer and you can't think of a thing to say, say, well, hey, listen, I've got this little booklet. Let me just share this little booklet with you and just read through it with them. Maybe you could carry a marked New Testament. I've got two little New Testaments. Again, I didn't bring one with me, but I've got two or three of them at home. And they're marked. If you go to the first page, it says, turn to page X. And you turn to page X and it's got a verse highlighted. Then you read that verse and you just ask, okay, what does that verse say? Well, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, let's go to the next page. Next page. You turn to the next page. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What's that say? Well, all you got to do is believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. Well, that's pretty simple, right? So maybe you carry a marked New Testament. Maybe you carry a Bible. Maybe you use a tract. Maybe you use something else. Maybe you just say, listen, I don't know all about it. I'm brand new to this. But listen, my pastor at church, he talks about this stuff all the time. Why don't you come with me on Sunday? Remember I said about 75% of them will say yes. Give them a reason to say yes. Say, hey, come over to my house for lunch on Sunday. But before you come over, let's go to church together. Give them a reason. The Bible says to compel them to come in. I think sometimes what we think is we just ask them to come to church. Well, I've found that if you give them a reason to come visit you, and then you bring them to church. So have breakfast with them. Invite them for coffee. Tell them you'll take them out to lunch. Go pick them up and bring them. If they're in your car, they're going where you're going. Okay? And listen, I know Spencer County's pretty big, but it's not that big. Or maybe you need to present your story. Maybe you need to just tell your story. See, that's called testimony. John 19:35 says, "The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe." This is John talking about him writing the book of John. He's saying, "Hey, listen, I saw what happened." He's talking about the things that had happened, Jesus had done, and the demons being cast out of people. And he's saying, "Hey, listen, this is what happened. I saw it." Well, every one of you here has a testimony. One of the things we're encouraging people to do as part of My Hope is to work on their testimony. Let me just give you my testimony really quickly. Okay? When I was about 17 years old, my parents got involved in a church. I was working one Sunday and didn't go with them. And that Sunday night, for some reason, I remember it was raining, I was bored, didn't have anything to do. You ever hear a teenager say they're bored? I said I was bored, and Mom said, "Go to church." I had never gone to church by myself before. And our church was a good half hour from where we lived. I mean, we lived a long way. It was a long way. And I went to church. And I wish, you know, I can tell you who the pastor was, but I can't tell you what he preached on. But I remember I was sitting there in the pew. I don't know if I'd ever been to church on Sunday night, other than with my grandparents. We were at Arlington Baptist Church, and I was sitting there. And listen, at that time, I was drinking, and I was doing drugs, and I was involved in stuff I shouldn't have been involved in. But I knew there was an emptiness in my heart. And God got a hold of me at that service. And I can't tell you what the preacher said, but one of the things he said was, you know, if you're ready to give your heart to God, then you can do it tonight. And you know what? That night, I gave my heart to God. That night, I trusted Him. Now, I didn't know what all that meant at that time. I didn't have all the answers, but I sure had different questions. And God changed my life, and God put me in contact with people, and so a year later, I met her. And that's Teresa. She's not looking at me now, so she doesn't know I'm pointing at her. She's falling asleep during the preacher's sermon. Can you believe that? Yeah, do you hear it? I've heard this story before. So about a year later, I met her. And then we got married. And I sort of attended church here and there and found a few churches here and there, but hadn't really gotten involved. And you know what? She's part of a family. And they went to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And if it was open on Saturday night, they went then. And they went on Wednesday night. And so she would just get ready and go. And so I'd just go with her. I didn't know. I figured, that's what you do. So I did. And the more I went, the more God got a hold of me. And God has changed my life and finally brought me here, so that I can share this with you. Now the question is, see, God's done all that for me. Wouldn't you like God to do something like that for you? To change your life? Would you like to trust Jesus today? See, that's a testimony. That's a testimony. So telling your story. Proceed with kindness and with clarity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that they know that you speak the truth to everyone. They know how to answer everyone. Speak graciously and clearly. The Bible says, one of our key verses, with gentleness and respect. I have never been a person who feels like it's my job to beat people over the head with the Bible, but it's certainly my job to tell people the truth. And so I want to be careful to do this, but sadly, a lot of people seem to think that sharing the truth about God is about being angry about things. We get angry about long hair or tattoos, or we get angry about smoking or drinking, or we talk about all these kind of things, all the things we're against. Listen, I am certainly against the things that God is against, but here's what I am for. I am for the things God is for. And here's what I believe. I believe God is for the sinner, because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, before I'm against somebody drinking, I am for them, because I want them to stop drinking, because they're going to be better off if they obey God. And the thing that they need to know is it isn't about giving up things, it's about getting a hold of something that will change your life forever. We're not giving people a series of rules that will take all the fun out of life. We're about giving people a relationship that will add joy to their life forever and into eternity. This is what we're all about. So, be careful. All right? Engaging intentionally means looking for opportunities. Now, this is a long passage. I'm just going to sort of skim through it there. It's in your bulletin. I've got to turn pages here. I think it's in your bulletin. Isn't it in your bulletin? It's on. I know it's on the screen. Acts 3, 1 through 6. Is that whole thing in there? No? Okay. All right. Well, I'll read it to you then. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Our faith is not a by-the-way faith. It's not, you know, "Oh, by the way, I'm a Christian." Our faith is an on-the-way faith. So that everywhere you go, every place you are, whether you're in school, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, you are a Christian wherever you are. It is an on-the-way kind of faith. And you need to carry it with you wherever you are. One of the things you need to do is to seek out the lost. Seek out the lost. Luke 19:10 says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Listen, a lot of people believe sharing Jesus is for pastors or for evangelists and all that kind of stuff. And I know there are a few people like Billy Graham, but I've been to anybody ever been to a Billy Graham crusade? Anybody ever volunteer at a Billy Graham crusade? I sang in the choir at the last one he had here, but also I was one of the people that went down onto the field to witness to people. Billy Graham leads people to Christ, but then there are other people that follow up one-on-one. You know how people come to Christ? They don't come in great big groups. Generally, they come one-on-one. You know why people are at a Billy Graham crusade? Because somebody invited them. You know why people are here at church? Because somebody invited them. It starts off one-on-one. It's not about pastors. It's about people who realize that a part of being a Christian is to seek and to save the lost. And then you need to share out of love. We already talked a little bit about that. John 3:16, "For God," what? "So loved the world." Listen, are we sharing out of love? Listen, have you heard the politicians lately? It seems like they're all against something, right? Have you heard it? Everybody's against. Some people are against Obama. Some people are against Mitch McConnell. Somebody, you know, we're all against everybody. Wouldn't it be nice if just one of our politicians says, "Here's what I'm for"? Wouldn't it be nice if we as a church set up and said, "Here's what I'm for. I'm for the love of Christ being shared with every person on earth as best we can. I am for a church that's going to love its people the best it knows how. I am for the people of God because they're going to stumble and they're going to fall, but they have Christ living in us, and we're going to share out of love as best we can and do the best we can to share it with everybody." Share out of love. That's what they did, right? They saw this guy sitting on the steps, and they shared with him. And then we need to stand on godly convictions. Stand on godly convictions. See, let me just go through this, Christ, quickly. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. "For I am resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Sometimes we major in the minors and minor in the majors. Listen, there's some things you need to know. Okay? You need to be concerned about the lost. You need to care about this. First thing you need to know is that the Bible is the total, inerrant, and accurate Word of God, useful for us in life and in faith. Second thing you need to know is that the Bible says that Jesus was God in the flesh, the Son of God who came and was born and died for our sins. Third thing you need to know is the Bible says He rose bodily from the grave and that He will return bodily for His people. And fourth, you need to know that Jesus said, that the Bible tells us that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. You got that? We need to stand on those convictions. And listen, we can talk about what kind of hymns we sing. We can talk about all that other kind of stuff. But really, when it gets right down to it, we're talking about Christ and Him crucified. If we're not preaching Christ through the songs we sing, through the stuff we put on a screen, through the actions that we do as a church, through the block parties we have, then we have missed the mark. You know what the Bible calls missing the mark? sin. And we need to be faithful. And we need to follow. So let me ask, if you would, to bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, in so many ways, Lord, we forget our priorities. We forget what's important. Lord, in so many ways, we are not intentional about outreach, about caring for people. In so many ways, we sort of let life happen to us. But then, Lord, I look back and I see people like David who showed up at the battlefield. And when he heard the giant cry out and nobody responded, he said, "Well, here, let me go." Lord, with faith. To act instead of stand still. And Lord, I think of what Jesus did for us. And Lord, I'm reminded how much you love us and how much you care for us. And so, Lord, I ask that today, if there's anybody who needs to make a decision for you, anybody at all who needs to trust you, anybody at all who needs to come to the altar and lay their burdens down, anybody at all who needs to say, "Hey, listen, I need to be a part of a local church fellowship. I need the strength and help that provides." Lord, may this be the day that they make that choice. And Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jared's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. I was talking to somebody this morning and I realized some of you may not know what an invitation hymn is. Invitation means we're inviting you to choose to follow Christ. And so let me ask you if you would stand as we get ready to sing.
Page 551 in your hymnals, "O To Be Like Thee." Page 551.
Thank you. All right. Well, you may know this young lady. Her name is Jessica.